Well, last week we looked at the question that was asked was, where's your faith? It was a sobering but needed message last week. Hope it didn't discourage anybody. I hope it encouraged people. It helped us to recalibrate where we need to be in our walk with the Lord, and in our responsibility. In our responsibility in what He has us to do and who He has us to be as a church. There's so many things that the Lord is doing right now in this year 2020. I think that what we're seeing in 2020 is the visible manifestations of what's really been going on more behind the scenes and maybe on the outskirts. We're seeing it on the forefront now. It's impacting the entire world with the COVID virus that is on the upswing again. And by the way, toilet paper is rare again. Did you ever think that would... I mean, this is crazy. People just freak out about stuff. But see, God's doing a new thing. And He's doing a new thing in our midst. He's doing a new thing in the church. He's doing a new thing in the world. And the church, listen to me, the church needs to wake up. Amen. Hear me today, church. We must wake up. We must be aware of it. Let's not miss it. And let's get ourselves ready for what is getting ready to be, I believe, a flood of opportunity for the church in these last days before Jesus returns. He's in the midst, as I said last week, of shaking and stripping away everything that we've had, that we've placed our confidence in up to this point, and that we've placed our faith in up to this point, so that all that remains is Jesus Christ. Amen. And Him alone. Amen. He's all that we need, and He's all that we will have when it's all said and done. Aren't you thankful this morning that we stand on the solid rock of Jesus Christ when all of the ground is sinking sand? So as we look around at all that's happening in our world today, it just seems to be getting crazier and crazier every day. I was talking to someone yesterday. I said, how you been doing? And she said, I've been great. I hadn't watched the news in the last week. I'm feeling great. I said, that's good. You know, truly scriptures that prophesied that just before the Lord's return, that good will be spoken of as evil, and evil will be spoken of as good. How many sees that happening? More and more every day. It blows my mind to think, how can there be so many people that are so convinced that what they're believing and moving towards in their lives is absolutely right, and there's nothing wrong with it. And those people look at folks like us and say, you guys are crazy, and you're wrong. See, and so there's this sense of what the Bible says. People look at it and say, yeah, let's do just the opposite. Let's believe just the opposite. The Bible says that would happen in the last days, and it's happening right before our eyes. It seems that the world has gone mad and embracing wickedness and perversion at a level that's unprecedented in all of history. So as I was preparing this week's message, I felt the Holy Spirit impress upon me to go to the Old Testament, to the book of Habakkuk. And there's this passage that might as well have been written yesterday that Habakkuk wrote some 2,600 years ago. Habakkuk was complaining to God for God's seeming abandonment to the evil things that were going on in Habakkuk's day. Listen to this, Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 2, 3, and 4. This is what Habakkuk is crying out to God and saying. He says, how long, Lord, must I call for help, but you don't listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed and justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Doesn't that sound like that could have been written yesterday? But that was going on 2,600 or so years ago where he was in that generation. Have you ever prayed to God that way, by the way? Where you're praying, God, why is it that evil seems to be prevailing and the righteous seem to be hemmed in? You know what hemmed in means? I'm just picturing this little needle and thread and you're kind of getting stitched into a corner. Kind of all tight and hemmed in. Have you ever complained to God about injustice, about violence that you see and experience, and about the evil ones that seem to prevail while the righteous are hemmed in? Have you ever prayed that? This is not fair, God. How many of you ever prayed that prayer? Am I all by myself on this? Okay, just a few of you. Do you ever feel like that God doesn't care? Do you ever feel like that he's indifferent to the things that are going on in our world? How many of you ever felt that way? Well, I want you to know something this morning. I want you to know that God is not indifferent, that God is not aloof, that God has not abandoned us and left us to our own devices. God today is right here. God is in the midst of your struggles. God is in the midst of your battles. God is in the midst of your strife and in the midst of your fear and in the midst of your anxieties. He's in the midst of all the perversion and the destruction and the godlessness and the violence of our generation. And his plans and his purposes are being fulfilled in and through all that's going on right now. Here's God's response to Habakkuk's complaints found in verse 5 of Habakkuk 1. I love this response. God doesn't say, oh, you're right, what am I going to do? He never responds that way to people that cry out to him or complain to him. He always kind of redirects the attention. He did that with Elijah. Elijah said, I'm the only one that loves you and serves you. He said, the 7,000 have had bowed their knee. Now I've got a job for you to do. And on it goes. There's so many examples of it. And he's one of them. And this is what God said to Habakkuk. He says, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something in your days that you wouldn't believe even if you were told. I'm just going to just let that kind of just settle into your heart right now. Because with all that's going on in the world today, God says, I got a plan. You see, in Habakkuk's complaint to God, Habakkuk could only see what was in front of him. What the news reports say, what the experiences are of what's going on in our culture today. That's all that Habakkuk could see. He had a hard time seeing beyond what he could see with his physical eyes. He looked with his eyes and he saw the violence and the corruption, and he relied on what he saw to form and to fashion his faith. I'm going to say that again. Listen to me and write that down. This is key. He relied on all the stuff that he saw. He relied on what he saw to form and to fashion his faith. He was saying in essence, this has been going on for a long, long time. All of my life, this is what I've seen, and it's never changed. And its fact is now it's getting worse. And therefore, since that's how it's always been, and since that's now it's going on now, and it's actually getting worse, then that's how it always will be. That's what Habakkuk's faith or his vision brought him to a conclusion. And God responded to Habakkuk by saying, not so fast, Habakkuk. I'm getting ready to do a new thing. I'm getting ready to do something so amazing, so mind-blowing, so overwhelming, that you wouldn't believe it even if I told you. Get your eyes off of what you see and get your eyes back on me. That's what God was telling Habakkuk, and that's what God is telling us today. Fix your eyes on him, the author and the finisher of your faith. Stop looking around. Don't let what you see or read or hear Don't let those things form and fashion your faith. As believers, how many is a believer in Jesus Christ this morning? Amen. The Bible says as believers in 2 Corinthians 5:7 that we walk by faith and not by sight. Very, very simple and precise verse right there. We walk by faith and not by sight. But you know, that's really hard for us to do, isn't it? When we see all the evil and the injustice and the wickedness that's waxing worse and worse, the wicked are prospering, and seemingly they're getting the upper hand, while the righteous are being hemmed in and seemingly are being marginalized, just like in the days of Habakkuk. And if we look with just our eyes, we will conclude that evil is winning and God is losing. But God is telling us to not look with our eyes. Because what we see with our eyes will fool us. What we see with our eyes will discourage us. What we see with our eyes will keep us from walking in hope and joy and victory in Christ Jesus. We must walk in faith. So, we must walk in faith. We must walk in our faith. We must walk in our faith believing. We must walk in our faith believing confidently that what we can't see but are assured is there is what God has in store. Things that will blow your mind. Things that He has in store for you and me, not only for you individually, not only for this church, but for the world. Hebrews 11:1 says faith is a substance. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's an evidence of things not even seen. We know that verse. Oh, that's a great Pentecostal verse right there. Faith is a foundation. Faith, you always wonder, well, what does this mean, faith is a substance? We can say amen to that and kind of move on. But let me just kind of unpack this for just a second. Faith, what does that mean by it being a substance? Well, what that means is it means it's a foundation. Faith is a foundation. Faith is something that you place. Faith is there underneath what you place your hope on. Faith is what we hope for. It's a foundation that's beyond our physical ability to achieve. Faith is what our hopes rest upon and hold steady in the face of uncertainty and fear. Faith is a belief with evidence based on God's word. We take God at His word and act upon it and believe in faith. How many believe in God's word? How many believe that God is not a man that He would lie? How many believe that everything in God's word we can stand upon as solid, right? It's solid. It's foundational. It will not be moved. Regardless of the storms around you in your life, no matter the unrest, no matter of the surprises that happen in your life, we can hold steady in the face of all of that because faith is a foundation of something that we can't see with our eyes. It's like cashing a check. If I were to give you a check today and it was made out for $1,000, how many would be happy about that? Yeah. Made out to you, $1,000, whatever bank, you know, TD Bank is where I bank. So TD Bank has my signature on it, has all the little numbers on it. It's official, right? But if I give you a $1,000 check, are you holding $1,000 in your hand right then? Of course you're not. You're holding a piece of paper that says that if you take it to the right place and cash it, then you can get 10 $100 bills, and that is the real money. It's a promissory note. It's a representation of something that as you act upon it, that you're going to get what is authorized to you by me. See, that's what God is saying to us today. He says, I've written you a check. It's made out for all of my promises are true, and you can take it to the bank. Now, you're not able to hold that money right now, but you hold on to that check, okay? And you're going to get to cash it by and by, but it's in my time and in my way. But I promise you that the money's good. How many's ever cashed a bad check? It's awful, isn't it? I'm sorry, sir, your check that you cashed, it bounced. It's insufficient funds. What? I hate getting bad checks. Hadn't happened to me in a long time, but that's awful. God doesn't write bad checks. Aren't you glad? God does not write bad checks. It's like salvation. Salvation, you can't quantify salvation. You can't bottle it up. You can't sell it. Hey, I got some salvation right here. How many would like to buy some salvation? You can't do it because the price has already been paid. Nor can I bottle it. Even if I were to try it to you, I can't do it. You can't quantify it. You can't touch salvation. You can't see salvation. Salvation is an act of pure faith. That's all that it is. And as we talked about last week, where's your faith? Did you guys, any of you, wonder where your chairs, either of them got booby-trapped? I said last week we might do that. And it could very well be that some of these that are not sat in are the booby-trapped chairs. Pastor Joseph, did you do that this week? No? Okay, you're crossing your fingers, right? You didn't, right? Okay. No, you sat in your chair this morning without even thinking about it. This chair's going to hold me, right? That's what faith is. You didn't slowly ease down into your chair, hoping that it's going to hold your weight. You sat down confidently, and it did. So far, so good on all these chairs. You believe in faith that Jesus finished work on the cross of Calvary, washed you clean of all of your sins. Amen? Amen. You believe that as you place your faith in Him and His finished work, that you are saved. Amen? Amen. That's a pure act of faith. There's nothing that you can do to earn that. Nothing. In faith, you place your confidence in your salvation in Jesus Christ. But one day, though, our faith, the Bible says, will become sight. In fact, when we get to heaven, we won't need faith anymore. We need faith between now and then. But when we get to heaven, we won't need faith because we will be in heaven. We will live in the reality of all that we were hoping for and looking forward to in faith, now believing. Our check will have been cashed. And we'll be living in the reality of all that He's promised for us. You know, doubting Thomas wouldn't believe Jesus had been resurrected until he saw the nail scars in his hands and in his side. And too many of us are just like him today. I won't believe it until I see it. But faith flips that around and says, I won't see it until I believe it. And I love how the Lord has placed us in a situation right now, not only with our salvation with Him, but just in our day-to-day lives, that in everything that we do, we must walk in faith. But as God told Habakkuk, He's telling you today, and I'm speaking, the Lord is speaking to you directly right now as an individual, not just as a church, but listen to this. This is for you. Put your name in front of it right now. Say your name, and then this is what He's saying. Your name. Be utterly amazed. For I am going to do something that you won't believe, even if I were to tell you. What does that look like in your life today? What does that look like in your life today? Donald, I'm going to do a new thing in your life, and you're not going to believe it, even if I told you. Kevin, I'm going to do a new thing in your life, and you're not going to believe it, even if I told you. Tina, I'm going to do a new thing in your life, and you wouldn't believe it, even if I told you. That's what the Lord is saying to each of us individually and corporately and in this world. He can try to describe it to you. He can try to explain it to you, but it would blow your mind. The Bible says your eye hasn't seen it. 1 Corinthians 2:9. Your ear hasn't heard it. No human mind can conceive it, the things that God has prepared for those who love Him. I think we take that verse and we say, oh, that's one day in heaven. But folks, that's not just one day in heaven. It doesn't say that one day in heaven that's going to happen. He's saying in your life, as you walk this thing out, it's today. It's as we live our lives, your eye hasn't seen it. Your ear hasn't heard it. Your imagination cannot imagine the things that I have in store for you. It's going to blow your mind. Now, it may not seem possible as we look around at all that's going on today, but what I believe that God has in store for His church is mind-blowing. It's overwhelming. It's unbelievable. It's unprecedented. And it's for your life and for the life of His church. And there's three things that He was showing me today that we need to walk in. Write these things down. The first one is this. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. Write that down. Now, His Word promises us that in the last days, just before Christ's return, when evil is rampant and it seems Satan is winning, that God is going to counter that evil with an overwhelming outpouring of His Spirit upon all flesh throughout the world, over every tribe, every race, and every people. Joel chapter 2, verse 28 and 29, a very familiar verse for us today. It says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. And even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. That's today. We're there now. The Holy Spirit is looking around right now. And he's desiring to pour out his spirit on those who are hungry, on those who are seeking, and on those who are willing vessels. We must be spirit-filled, spirit-empowered, and spirit-led people in these last days. And we cannot do this in our own strength. I'm going to go out and witness. You can't do it unless the Holy Spirit is witnessing through you. I'm going to go out and heal someone today. You can't do it unless the Holy Spirit heals through you. I'm going to go out and make a big difference for the kingdom. You cannot do it unless the Holy Spirit is doing it through you. Because if you're doing it in your own strength, you're going to fall flat, you're going to get the glory for it, and it's not going to be effective. But if you do it through the Holy Spirit, he gets the glory. It'll be mind-blowing the things that you'll be able to do. And it's going to expand the kingdom in ways that will be everlasting. And not built on flesh. We must be a spirit-filled people in these last days. And that's an individual mandate for each of us as well as a corporate thing. The Holy Spirit is doing something in our midst. He was doing something in our worship just a few moments ago. I don't know what he did in your life, but he wants to do something in your life. We've grown up, Kelly and I, in church, in a Pentecostal church. I don't know what your background is, but I know we've talked about this many times. We're back in the day, we saw the Holy Spirit do a whole lot more than he's doing right now. Why? Has he changed? No, we've changed. He's still hungry, desiring, willing to pour out his spirit, but we've allowed too much to get in between us and him. Our priorities have shifted. We've gotten too formatted, too structured, too busy, too whatever, too complacent. We're lethargic. The church must wake up. I must wake up, you must wake up, we must wake up and be a spirit-filled people. God, help us. Help us to hunger and thirst for more of you like we never have before. Help us to be willing to allow you to take and hijack our services, hijack our lives, hijack our agendas, and do what you want to do through our lives. We are in those last days of Joel that were spoken of in Joel chapter 2. And the Holy Spirit is looking around across the face of this earth, looking for who is willing and open and hungry so that he might pour out his spirit into our lives and that we might be impactful and effective for his kingdom and walk in that authority. Walking in the spirit, walking in faith, and the third one is walking in loyalty. Walking in loyalty. The Holy Spirit is seeking to bless and to pour out his spirit upon those who have a loyal heart for him. A loyal heart. What does loyal mean? Well, 2 Chronicles 16:9, let me just point this out to you. It says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. 2 Chronicles 16:9. For those who are loyal to him, they're fully committed to him. So, what does loyal mean? Well, when you're loyal to somebody, that means you're not going to stab them in the back. That means you're not going to betray them. That means that you're going to stick with them through thick or thin. That means that you're there no matter what. You're loyal. You're firmly committed. No matter which way the wind blows, no matter which way things are going, I'm going to stand right by this person's side. I am loyal. Like a trusty, loyal dog, you know? Dogs are loyal, aren't they? God wants us to be that for him. That we would be loyal to him. That no matter what way the winds of our culture are blowing, no matter how much Jesus becomes a swear word, no matter how much we get marginalized and hemmed in, no matter how much God is scrubbed out of the White House, the schoolhouse, the courthouse, all the houses of our country, no matter how much God is pushed aside, We're going to remain loyal to Him. God is looking for those that are loyal to Him. God, help us to be loyal to You. Help us to be firmly entrenched and committed to You. Help us to be hungry children for You. Pour out Your Spirit upon us today as Your loyal people. Lord, as those that were in the upper room were obediently waiting and actively seeking the gift of the Holy Spirit, Lord, make us a willing vessel for You today. Holy Spirit, we thank You that You're going to gladly and liberally pour out Yourself, Your power, Your anointing into us, that we might be powerful vessels for God's glory and honor. Amen. To a dark and evil world. Lord, blow our minds with the things that You have planned for us. I want you to know something today as we wrap this up here today, that God's agenda is going to succeed in this world. Amen. God's agenda is going to succeed in this world. I don't care all the blustering, all the manipulation, all of the coercions, all of the lies, all of the manipulations. God's agenda is going to succeed. God's agenda will be accomplished in this world. There's a ton of agendas out there. Political agendas, and financial agendas, relational agendas. We have corporate agendas. We have individual agendas. The list goes on and on. But all of those agendas, in comparison to God's agenda, are temporary. Only God's eternal agenda, only the one that He has planned, will supersede any and all agendas that man has planned. Only God's plans will succeed. And what is His plans? His plans are souls for His eternal kingdom. His plans are to build His eternal kingdom and have as many residents in it as possible. This past Friday, many went out to witness again on the downtown Rock Hill. In fact, it was 6 o'clock. It was dark, but there's this ice skating rink out there now. And so it's all lit up. And so there's more people there than ever before. And a lot of folks were witnessed too, and they were able to lead someone to the Lord on Friday night. Praise God for that. Let's give God praise for that. And in fact, I don't know if you can put those pictures up. I just want to say this too. For everybody that went out yesterday and handed out Thanksgiving meals to the 12 families, thank you. There's some pictures that are behind me. You can see of the activity that went on yesterday, where they just didn't say, here's a meal, God bless you. They spent 30, 40, 50 minutes with each family, ministering to them, praying with them, and reaching out to them saying, Jesus loves you, and we do too. So, you know, the old adage that says, I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. Well, we made a difference in 12 families' lives yesterday, and thank you, not only for each one that went out yesterday and gave out the meals, but also those that contributed in different ways so that we could do that. But everything that we do here at Faith Assembly is connected to a soul. And Jesus loves those precious people. I was talking to Billy about this yesterday. And he and his wife Lena went out to some of the homes. And he got in one time he got in the car, he told me, and he said he just started to weep because he saw the lack, the need, the people that he ministered to and just the situation that they were in. And he leaned over to Lena and he says, Lena, if I ever complain about anything else in my life, I just want you to just reach over and just slap me in the back of the head. You know? Because we are so blessed, aren't we? We are so blessed. And it's not just these folks that are lacking in physical needs, that they're lacking in their physical things like they needed. But there's absolutely a spiritual need that was there, a spiritual lack. And I promise you that what you guys did yesterday and what we do at this church, every time we reach out, we're making a difference. We are planting and watering, and God's bringing the increase. Let's keep doing what we're doing to make a difference for the kingdom of God, because God's agenda is going to succeed. And God's agenda is souls. His desire is that none would perish, but that all would be saved, that none would perish, not one. You can think of the worst of the worst of the worst sinners right now. You can think of someone that you're so, that you feel like that they are absolutely going to hell and they deserve it, which is an awful thought to think, by the way. But I know we often think that way, oh, well, they're just so far gone. Jesus desires that they don't go to hell too. Whoever it is that you have in your mind, whoever you don't even know, you may see them on TV and you think, oh, I disagree with their politics. I disagree with whatever it is that's going on. Jesus died for them too. And it's their desire, his desire that they don't go to hell either. And so if that's his desire, that should be our desire. So instead of us watching them on TV or watching them walk down the street or interacting with them and having that thought, instead, Holy Spirit, help us to pray for them. Help us to see them as a soul that Jesus died for. And instead of having an ugly thought about them, God, help us instead to say, oh, God, save their soul. Oh, God, bring someone into their life. Give them a dream. Let them read something. Let them have a memory of a past experience, a conversation. Somehow show yourself to be real to them and save them, because I know it's not your will that they would go to hell. Oh, that we would have a heart for souls. You see, that's what the Spirit of God in us does. The Holy Spirit in us doesn't judge. The Holy Spirit in us doesn't condemn. The Holy Spirit in us doesn't do that sort of ugly stuff. The Holy Spirit in us has compassion for souls, sees them as Christ sees them, and prays for them, and figures out a way to reach out to them. That's what being Spirit-led is all about, and that's what God's agenda is. My encouragement to you today is this: get with God's eternal agenda. Don't look with your eyes at what's going on out there. Tune those things out. And tune into God's Holy Spirit today. It may seem like things aren't going well out there, but folks, they are. Things are going just fine. Habakkuk complained, and God replied with, I've got this. And it's going to blow your mind as to the plans that I have. And keep in mind this, that God's plans are not our plans. The Bible says his ways are not our ways. He does things in ways that we wouldn't do them. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 says, this is God speaking, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. He says, my ways aren't your ways. He says, as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. God is saying, you're not going to believe it even if I told you. I'm not asking you to believe it, though. I'm asking you to believe me, because I've got it. So don't even place your faith in the things that he's going to do. Place your faith in God. And know that he's got two little word, it. Big word. He's got it. He's got everything. And if you believe in him, if you have faith in him, if you'll trust in him with all of your heart, then no matter what happens, no matter what path that he chooses for you, no matter what you may see with your eyes that doesn't make sense, you can walk in assurance that in the end that he has taken care of all these things in his capable and loving and powerful hands. I want you to listen to this encouragement to the Hebrews who had placed their faith in Christ as you stand with me this morning. And Linda, if you will. Hebrews chapter 10, and look at the words on the screen. Verses 32 through 39. Now listen to these, and remember, if you will stand with me this morning. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 and 39. Remember now, last week we said that the Hebrews had been worshiping God in a certain way for the last couple of thousand years or so. Several thousand years. And then here comes Jesus on the scene. And he just flips everything on his head. And so this is that context of where this is coming from here. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 10. Remember those early days? That you'd received the light? When you endured in great conflict, full of suffering? Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecuted. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourself had better and lasting possessions. So don't throw away your confidence. I'll say this again. Church, don't throw away your confidence, for you will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you'll receive what he has promised, those things that will blow your mind. For in just a little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. but my righteous one will live by faith. I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we who do not belong to those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are to those who have faith and are saved. Oh, I love that. We can look at what's going on, church, and we can shrink back. We can feel like we're being hemmed in. We can feel like that through this persecution, through the stuff that's going on in our lives and in the life of this country and in the world, it would cause us to shrink back. But I like that last phrase. We don't belong to those who shrink back. We're not in that crowd. There's the shrink back crowd, and there's the ones who live by faith. Who is part of the ones who live by faith? If you are, let me hear you say amen. Let's not be part of the shrink back club. That is not a good club to be part of. We will not shrink back, but we will press forward in faith, knowing that the things that He has in store for us, the things that we can't see, that's what we place our confidence in. That's the foundation. We are the ones who persevere. We're not going to allow what we see with our eyes to form our fashion, our faith. Today, we're the ones who walk by faith in Jesus Christ. He is our solid rock. He is our sure foundation. He is our soon coming Redeemer. He is our Savior. He is our Lord. Amen. I want you to bow your heads in prayer as I read this scripture over you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain, that is His body. And since we have a great priest over the house of God, I pray today, church, that you would draw near to God with a sincere heart. I pray, Jesus, that you would help us today with a full assurance that faith brings, that as you've sprinkled our hearts and you've cleansed us from a guilty conscience, and that our bodies are washed pure, Holy Spirit, that you'd help us to hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. Lord, we thank you that you have promised this and you are faithful. So help us, Holy Spirit, to consider how we may spur one another on toward love and toward good deeds. Help us, Holy Spirit, to not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but that we would instead encourage one another, that all the more as we see the day approaching, that we would encourage, that we would gather together, that we would spur one another to love and good deeds. Lord, I know that we're not going to believe it, even if you told us. But Lord, I know that you have great things in store for us as a church, for us as your children. Yes, we know we're in the midst of a mighty shaking, and it seems like the wicked are winning. But God, we know that you've got this. Lord, we know that you're stripping away everything that is not of you, so that only what remains is you. Lord, we believe today, we're confident today, that the church's best days, the most fruitful days, are ahead. Lord, if this year has shown us anything, it's that we can't place our faith in the economy, in the government, in jobs, or any other security or safety net. Lord, we know that everything is being shaken in an unprecedented way. Help us by your Spirit to discern what is going on in the big picture, to pull way, way back, and to prepare our hearts, our spirits, and our very lives for what is on the horizon. Knowing that it's going to blow our mind, that we're not going to believe it even if you told us. But Father, make us ready to be amazed of what you have in store. And may we stand in awe of your greatness to bring your plan about. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said amen.